You suck, Chris.
Are you ready for some meatballs?
Six losses in a row. The once 5-1 Bears are now 5-7. Now I'm no brain surgeon, but that's bad, right? That's a bad switcheroo there. So everything's done. Season's over. Everyone's gonna be fired, barring what? Let's see. There's four more games left. They'd have to win all four and look good while doing it. Otherwise, this Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy thing is over. But I'm going to talk more about that with Mark Jansen, and we're going to talk about the Bears-Lions, what we saw, some very disturbing, discouraging things that we saw in that game as signs for the future, what to expect from the future. And, well, let's just get to it. Let me get Mark, and we'll do this Bears post-mortem. All right, thanks for listening. Find me on Twitter at MeatballComp34, and let's get going. Hey, Mark. Good to see you and hear you.
Hello, hello.
Oh, man. Are you, have you processed what happened Sunday, or are you still processing? I feel like I'm still processing.
I'm not okay, Chris. No, I'm still processing some of it, and other parts, to me, the season was, the devastating one was the Vikings. I've been saying that to a couple of different people, and I think we talked about it last week or the week before, because, you know, those other games were tough, and you knew there's a chance they'd lose them all, and then you're supposed to get right against the Vikings, and you know Green Bay is tough. And you're supposed to beat the Lions. When you went out there and you lost to the Vikings, I thought, oh boy. Then you lost to the Lions. Whew. And now I think we have clarity. We want to win no more than six games and get as high a pick as possible at this point. I mean, do you still want to make the playoffs? Do you still think, ooh, let's go 9-7 and make the playoffs?
Well, the meatball side of me says, yeah, go Bears, get into playoffs. You never know what'll happen. But then the rational side's like, no, this this all needs to come to a screeching halt yesterday.
Okay. We better do the Lions before we get into the rest of that, or we'll be
okay, all right, okay.
Stuff the whole time. What did you think was the defining play of the game?
Oh, boy. I think it was that second-to-last touchdown from in the fourth quarter. And I had this first thought of, oh, my gosh, they're going to lose this thing. And they were up until then. They were up 30-20, I think.
Yeah, you're up 30-20 with 4.5 to play and a 99.1% win probability.
Yeah.
Basically, the Lions returned the favor right down to the final score, and then the Bears, returned the favor by blowing the final drive with a couple stupid decisions. I think there's several picks right for defining play. That one, the one where they're third and long and still in their own territory on that same drive. And they pick up a big chunk, 15, 17, whatever yards it was. Of course, the fumble where Effetti gets beat and Mitch doesn't get rid of the ball in time. And, of course, the third down play with Robinson, the fourth down run.
Oh,
there's a bunch. But I do think overall you go back to that drive with 4.5 to go and the Lions starting on their own 4.
Yeah.
And they just get, stonewalled. Then it's like 17, 12, 15, 24, 17, 25. It's like how – many times, I would love for someone who's paid to do this and or a glutton for pain to go back, rewatch the game, and see just how many times Stafford worked the middle of the field or the middle left, right? Those like dagger dig routes for 15-ish yards on Trevathan or screen. It just kept happening. Mm-hmm. And they did it 3 or 4 times on that drive alone, and then there's the miscommunication, the rookie gets beat, and you score a TD. Rookies get beat. I'm actually kind of okay with that part besides the outcome. But why are Trevathan and Screen terrible this year?
Yeah, well, Trevathan, you could say age, I guess. But, yeah, it seems like every time there's a big play, either Trevathan is trailing or Screen is trailing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's these so many first downs that they're giving up between the two of them. And I know Rodgers abused them deliberately, and now to see Stafford do it. And again, I'll go back to the point last week. I would love to be the team that can identify that player on the opposing team and pick
right.
them.
Why can't we do that?
Why our coaches can't do that. Why can't we cover it up at all? Anyway, another pivotal play, as I think we got to talk about each of these in turn. So, like, that's that big drive, just awful defense for the last 5 minutes of the game. The other one for me would be the kickoffs, too, the only one we haven't mentioned, where you have the fear that they're going to do an onside kick, which is good. You should be prepared for that. But then inexplicably, Patterson's up with the hands guys, and Mooney, who has better hands, is returning the kick and then sliding down because he's like, bye. They did that totally backwards, and then that affected their play calling because they're on their own 11. Mm. That was dumb. It wasn't like the game, but it was dumb. And it affected the sequence that ended with the fumble.
I didn't even think of that, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and some of this was on Hogan Johns too, so shout out to them. Such a good pod. And then I have to point this one out. I can't remember. Maybe Manley did it or somebody because he's a special teams guy. But Rashard Coward cost the Bears another game.
You tell.
He was the guy that got trucked on the blocked PAT at the very beginning of the game.
Oh.
Which, what's the score, Chris?
Yeah, 4-point game. Yeah, you're right.
They go for a field goal there at the end from the 20. He had to overtime, you would assume.
Wow.
Rashard Coward is finally not starting. Rashard Coward shouldn't see the field, period. I mean, I don't know why he started for a month. I have no idea. The silver lining right now is the fact that the interior of the line has a bunch of young guys playing well and white hair. It's like, hey, this could be good down the road. That's the silver lining I have right now. Yay, Bears. That extra point cost him.
You're right. It did. You're right. And it's brings up the question again of why do our coaches struggle so bad with player evaluation?
I don't know. The buzzword I'm hearing a lot this week on the radio and pods, which I think is good, and the Lions exposed, Packers exposed even more, is institutional issues, right? And I'm trying to rethink. Some stuff is naggy, but a lot of it's just coaching, which, of course, he's ultimately responsible for. But you'd also have position coaches that are doing apparently next to nothing. Your D coordinator, I don't know what he's doing.
Oh, boy, yeah, we got to talk about him.
So, you know, it's an institutional failure when you get to the level of, you know, you got the wrong lineman in on a special teams play and it hurts you. I mean, I don't think any team in the league would work in a scenario where they go to run out there to do their first extra point and the coach is like, no, not him, pull him back, right? He's leaving that up to his coach.
Yeah.
At that point in the game, you know, it's already decided. So some of this is maybe even during the week. And then the other thing that just stands out to me in this game is the clock management is an awareness stuff. And this team just fails that over and over and over. Chris, when you have a lead late in a game, what do you want the clock to do?
Run.
So what should you maybe do on 3rd and 4? And then you can go ahead and punt it for all I care.
Run.
And what if you do that on 3rd and 4? What doesn't happen to Ifedi and Trubisky?
Fumble.
There you go. It's not hindsight. As it was happening, I was like, no, you benched Mitch. Why are you putting the game in his hands? Montgomery and Patterson have both had a great game. 6 second half carries for Patterson. For Montgomery. Oh, my gosh.
Again, inexcusable and inexplicable. Why? He was doing great that whole first half.
Well, he dominated the game, and then they just went away from – and they had the lead. He can't run the ball. He can't be trusted to manage a game. He cannot coach the game in front of him. And everything else he does good during the week that we've praised in the past pales in comparison to his failings on game day. And I just can't pretend otherwise, no matter how much Parkins tries to tell us he'll be a good coach eventually. Clock management is a disaster. And I just – if we're not going to be around to see it. He's going to go fix that for some other team if he ever does. Just like Andy Reid took like 20 years to figure it out. Okay, Chris, let's go back to the clock management, though. So when you are trailing and it's 4th down, what do you want the clock to do?
Potentially? Stop.
Okay, so maybe that one is where you pass. They did it completely backwards.
Does Nicky have a, I'm going to do the opposite of what they're expecting?
I don't know. I do wonder how much of this losing streak now, when you add the Vikings and Lions, which are definitely winnable games for this team, is just they're in their own heads so bad and trying so hard. And I don't think Nagy's just like sitting around just doing nothing. Like, I believe they're trying to fix it. How much of it is they're just so thoroughly in their own head that they can't fix it?
That's a sad point. But
so anyway, and that also the Robinson play, right, where he doesn't go out of bounds. Or he goes out of bounds but doesn't get the first.
He
not worth $20 million.
No. He was, what, 6 yards in bounds when he caught it? 5 yards in bounds, and then just this really stupid wide outside
He's trying too hard to get out of bounds. And he doesn't know that the guy fell, so he spins the wrong way.
He could have scored.
He might have scored if he spun the other way. I can forgive that part of it, because he doesn't necessarily know when he makes that split-second decision that he fell. But to spin and loop and still not get upfield enough for the first, that just hurts my soul to think about.
Horrible field awareness.
Allen Robinson is a good player. He's had a good year. He has made some unbelievably irritating mistakes, and that's another one. And there's no way to justify paying him $20 million.
No.
If he's going to keep making those mistakes. Not getting the jump ball in the end zone, that's the kind of play your $20 million receiver has to make. Mm-hmm. Two interceptions, or was it three, that are jump balls earlier?
At least two. At least two, maybe three.
I think he's a $15 to $17 million receiver based on last summer's market, but you know what's going to happen this summer.
Yep.
It's not going to be last summer's market because they're going to play the COVID card.
Yeah, and salary cap's dropping 10%, I think I heard.
Yeah, which hurts the Bears pretty good. We'll get to that, I think, shortly, too.
Okay.
And just once again, it just hurts seeing the other team have the vastly superior quarterback play. Ugh, just wish we would once in a while have the better QB. We never have the better QB.
No.
We may not even have the better QB when we play Jacksonville.
I was just going to say, the Mike Glennon revenge game is coming.
So worst case scenario is what happens, right? We lose to Jacksonville, somehow beat the rest, finish 8-8, and miss the playoffs. There it is.
Okay.
Now I can be happy with literally anything else.
Yeah. Right, they might need a losing record though to convince. They've lost six in a row, three
That's
division
not
games
happened
in
since
a row.
Like 0-2 or something.
Right.
Really bad. Defense. No. I don't want to get to the GM and stuff next,
about
right? But we got to talk about the D and what's going on there.
Yeah, I think, you know, you said Stafford played great. I agree. He played great. But he also had all day to throw and to pick apart.
We kind of let him play great, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. Because, like, Mitch played fine, you know.
The fumble sucked, but he really wasn't the problem. The offense was fine. They scored 30 points. This team's never supposed to lose. Heck, I would say they're probably not supposed to lose when they score 25.
They scored 30 and had a 10-point lead with 4.5 minutes to go. That should be a win. And Mitch is I got it right here.
Your elite defense can't hold a 10-point lead with 5 minutes to go against the mighty Lions? Come on.
Trubisky was 26 of 34, 267. 7.9 yards per attempt. That's not
very
bad.
Good.
That's pretty good. One touchdown, which I'm fine because
the running back finally
was,
got some. Yeah, they had three rushing, so that's still
108,
moving the ball.
108 rating, which, you know, rating is, you know.
Whatever. Yeah. But still, he had a fine game with a costly turnover late that was really mostly a Fetty's fault. Yeah. Mitch, I continue to say it, is not the problem. He's not any good.
Right.
He's never going to be, like, football smart enough to read a field well enough to be a consistent NFL starter.
Yes.
But this offense looks way better with him, and they have no answer there moving forward at QB.
Right. I am.
And they lost this game because of the defense, just like last.
Correct. And I'm saying Mitch played well, but he's also not the long-term QB. I can say that, right?
Yeah. It's okay to say that this team's better with him right now and know he's not that good.
Yeah. It's like
if the point is – they lost both those games because the defense stunk.
Yeah. All right, Stafford. Let me give you Stafford's line here. And 27 to 42.
5,000 yards.
5,000 yards. No, 402 yards. But.
Wow, I was so off.
But yards per attempt, 9.6.
God, it's a first down every time he completes a pass.
Correct.
Correct. So, I mean, that, yeah, he played good. He played well. He took advantage of what was there. But the Bears let him do it. How do you, with all the money you've poured into this defensive line pass rush, and you got a Pro Bowler in at the linebacker level, you got a Pro Bowler at the secondary, two Pro Bowlers probably at the secondary level, or at least Pro Bowl talent. How are you letting a quarterback throw the ball 10 yards every play? I mean,
the only answer is they're all underperforming. I don't see how you can go anywhere else. I mean, do you got any other reason? They're all underperforming, and the system and the coaching isn't good.
Can I blame the coaching? I'd like to blame the coaching.
You can blame the coaching, but we have to blame both.
All right, I'll blame
both. I mean, the players are not immune to criticism, right?
Oh, absolutely not. No. No. But what bothers me is seeing week after week the same weaknesses getting exposed and abused. You know, clearly other teams are looking at the Bears D and saying, okay, slants, crossing routes, that's going to get our receivers open because Trevathan and or screen is going to be the hole in, or the weakness in the zone there. So that's where we're going to be targeted. We've seen that like 3 weeks in a row now.
Well, I mean, we saw at the start of the season with Trevathan. Screen has fallen off. How many of these guys are playing banged up is my other question. How bad's Robert Quinn's ankle, that whole weird beginning of the season stuff?
Yeah.
Is he actually hurt? Mac's back? I don't want to just like put out a litany of excuses, but as you know, I still think the D overall should still try to run it back one more year, even if they fire everyone, based on contract realities too. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think, like, can the defense bounce back? I mean, we were thinking that for this year, and here we are again. Of course, they're better than they played last year, the last 2 weeks being, of course, the big issue here. But where's this all going? I don't know. I don't know what else to say about the D beyond the game plan's just not even – like recognizable. I don't see one.
Right.
Yeah. There's no blitzing. There's no stunting. It's Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn and Akeem Hicks. We'll get to the quarterback. Look, I know two of them are hurt. Hicks just missed time, and Mack has been on the injury list for a back, and he looks a little slower than usual.
Well, the back injury would be. Yeah.
And I think those two guys are great when they're healthy, but I'd really doubt that they are. And I don't even know if Quinn's healthy. And either way, we have plenty of data now for this season that that's just not working, and yet they don't ever change it.
Mm-hmm. That's what bothers me is that we're seeing the same. Can Pagano, is he just saying, well, we can't do anything about it. We have no answer for that. We just got to hope for the best. Or is he not
a really good secondary? Why don't you blitz more?
Right.
Because they can handle it.
Right. You can't give these quarterbacks time. Any quarterback with time is going to – well, maybe not Mitch. No, even Mitch is going to –
No, he's been fine. Yeah, he's been all right. So I think that's another check in the get rid of these coaches box, that the defense is this much worse now. And, you know, Nagy gave the rah-rah play with heart thing, and they got an even worse performance because they were playing a less talented team. I mean, you didn't have Rodgers and Davante Adams. You had Stafford and Marvin Jones. And their tight end, Hawkinson.
And I mean, without their best
player hurt.
Right.
Yeah. It was all on the team. The Bears dribbled it down their legs as usual.
Yeah, they sure did.
So the Bears are 0-6 since Foles' inspiring good teams win ugly speech.
Well, the ugly part still remains, so yes. Give them credit for that.
They are consistently ugly.
Yeah. Well,
and the Bears are on a where are they now 10 years from now, and you know, one of those stupid BuzzFeed things that like talks about someone who like prettied up and lost a bunch of weight. No, we're still going to just be nasty looking.
Oh, my.
Oh, the Bears. So the coaching, are you ready to fire Nagy?
Yes. And to be honest, I was last year too. Because
considering it was 12-4, even though I think we both agree that was mostly Vic.
Oh, yes.
When you look at what Nagy has brought to do, it's been terrible in terms of offense and QB development. I'm definitely ready to move on from him in the sense that he's just terrible in game. I mean, I could see him figuring it out down the road. Like, you know, Belichick coached the Browns. He's the next Bill Belichick, of course. No, I'm just saying, like, there's plenty of coaches who do better the second time around. But I don't see how they could possibly keep him.
No. Mm-mm. They are 28th in points, 30th in yards in offense.
And that's after two big scoring games for them. They were dead last at both of those until the last couple of weeks of Mitch, mighty Mitch, coming back at them strong.
However, I should say the Bears did move up to 31st in rushing. Way to go, Matt Nagy. No longer 32nd in the NFL. The Bears
can run the ball now. Houston can't defend the run. They better be able to run this week. Yeah. All right, so we're in agreement on Nagy. We've talked so much Nagy the last few weeks. I don't have much else to add. What about Pace? Is he gone for you?
He's got to go too. And only because, I mean, I like what he's done with the defense, at least, you know, on paper as of late. But quarterback, man, it's all about quarterback, and he has not done that.
See, I don't like what he's done on defense anymore, and I'll tell you why.
Yes.
The league doesn't let you dominate with defense.
Yeah.
The rules are not set up that is a reliable unit, because there will always be those games where you're like, what, that was roughing the passer? You need to balance this out. I have a whole bunch of numbers. Can I do some numbers?
Yes, please, hit me.
Over the Cap, really awesome website if you need cap details. Love this website. I nerd out so hard on this website.
All right.
Total cap space spent on the defense. The Bears are nearly $100 million out of the $181. Okay. On offense, they've spent $86.5 million. So there's a gap there. And that ranks towards the top in the league in spending on your defense. Khalil Mack makes $26.6 million. That's his cap number. Allen Robinson is next with $15 million. Although I don't think this updated to include Robert Quinn. Mm-hmm. He's only at $6 million for the year, but like he has a ton of dead money because he had a humongous signing bonus. Mm. So like you have to understand how the cap works with signing bonuses not counting as a cap number, but they still can't like cut him. These guys are all back except for A-Rob. Then it goes Hicks and Kyle Fuller, both just short of $12 million. Mm-hmm. Then Trubisky and Foles.
Oh my.
They are investing a combined almost $16 million in the QB position.
Oh, for this production.
And then at $6 million are Buster Screen and Jimmy Graham.
Oh.
There is a lot of bad money on the cap.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
Oh, Charles, I skipped right over him. 10. So let me count the bad money. Mac at 26 is crazy because he's great, but he's not proving to be worth that. But we'll just let that one be. He was worth that in 18, and I just keep
on. Absolutely was, yeah, absolutely.
I'll say Hicks and Fuller are good. Leno at 10, Mitch and Nick Foles at combined, let's say 16 to round up, right? We're at 36. Buster Screen at 6, 42. Robert Quinn at 6, and again, that's fuzzy because he got paid way more in a signing bonus. Mm-hmm. That's obviously bad money. Jimmy Graham is bad money at 6. What's our total right now?
54?
Yeah, there you go. Danny Trevathan at 4. And then I'll say everyone else makes so little it doesn't matter.
Okay, so almost $60 million.
So about a third of your salary cap are unquestionably vastly overpaid or giving you nothing. And that doesn't even count Mac, which is an overpay question mark, or guys like Cordarrelle Patterson getting 5. He's probably not worth that, but he's fun and I love his attitude. Mm-hmm. And okay. You know, I mean, this is a greatly mismanaged allocation of salary cap dollars. And here's the real killer, and I'll stop nerding out with this point. In 2021, if you give it the same cap, and we all know it's going down,
mm-hmm.
the defense, they're committed to spending $117.5 million of the $181 million on D and only $63.5 million on the offense. Because Kyle Fuller makes $20 million. Oh, and Bobby Massey's 9. So there, that takes us way over a third. Forgot about Massey. Robert Quinn goes to 14. Jimmy Graham's 10. They're going to cut him because they save $7 million if they cut him. Bears fan needs to prepare that they may move on from Hicks. They can save $10 million moving on from Hicks. That'd be more of a trade than a cut.
Have to lose Hicks but keep Quinn, huh?
Quinn is if they get rid of Quinn, what do they get for it? They lose. No, they can't. He's a cap hit of $9 million. Max a cap hit of 11.
Yeah,
so like if you cut him, that's still 11 on. It just can't do it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh, that's depressing.
Here's the worst one besides.
Oh, I haven't heard the worst one yet.
Besides Quinn, second worst one. If they cut Trevathan, it's an $8 million hit. If I'm reading this right. They're stuck with him. So everybody points to Mitch as the reason to fire Pace. I'm pointing to the cap.
That is some good research, my friend.
And the best, the highest paid offensive players for next year are Leno and Massey, who are the unquestionable two positions everybody wants to replace after quarterback. They make a combined $20 million. Ryan Pace has to go because of it's bad money on top of bad money.
Wow. That's
the bottom line.
Wow.
And next year, Nick Foles makes $6,666,666.
That's the mark of the beast, my friend. He's evil.
He's the anti-Mitch. but the cap is a mess. They have to fire Pace because he's wasted way too much of their money.
Oh, my gosh.
And wow. He'll be forever tied to Mitch. But, again, you go back. Look at Mel Kiper's board. He had Mitch, Mahomes, Watson.
Yeah.
A lot of people had Mitch at the top. It was a terrible pick, of course. But the real reason to fire him is stuff like this money issue that you can do better than.
Can we pivot here to a –
So now that we're all ready to light ourselves on fire, let's move on.
Yes, yes. Okay. Ted Phillips. And the debate about, you know, how involved he is and everything. Is it possible – I'm just thinking of this now. Is it possible that Pace has been told we're the Chicago Bears, we're a heritage franchise, and we're known for our great defenses. So we want you to build us a great defense. Could he have been – what's the probability of at least thinking about that? Because as bad as the Bears have been since Ted took over as president, and I know you got stuff you want to get into on that.
Yeah, we got to talk to Ted.
But when the Bears have been good since he took over, it's always been because of the defense. And that's really unusual for this era, the last 20 years, when you think about it. But has that been intentional from the top?
Was it a mandate from the owners? I think they're just – they fall for the mystique of the D, and the GMs come in and they keep valuing the D. I don't know. It's too hard to say.
Probably. I know it's a little conspiracy theory thinking.
Yeah.
I've heard worse lately.
Either way, I think he needs to go because they've won 3 playoff games in 25 years. And
that's bad.
Oh,
right?
But Hub tells us he's not involved. I don't care, Hub. I have too many other journalists who tell me he was there for this decision and that decision, and it doesn't matter anymore. He doesn't have to be fired, but he can't be the president anymore. They got to transition him to something else.
Promote him like
Kenny, as my cousin puts it.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I would be all for that.
And here's the biggest reason he has to go. The Bears are going to be in competition with several teams for GMs and coaches this offseason, right? We already know that.
Yeah.
Where does the Bears rank in the level of attractiveness with the assumed firings that are yet to come, plus the ones that have already happened?
Well,
is the Bears' job more attractive than the Jets with Trevor Lawrence?
No.
Is it more attractive than the Jaguars with Fields?
No.
Is it more attractive than – let me think. What's another one? Oh, Texans with Watson, although he's about to be way too expensive.
Yeah. No.
Probably not, because the QB is that important. So any team that's going to say, boom, we got a top 5 pick for your guy to get your QB or has someone like Watson, we're already behind them. Well, how can we make that up? You can give a GM in training a big, nice, fat football title and pay and stake in ownership, whatever. You can do a lot of things with an executive CEO of football that help you bump teams that are just hiring a GM. Some of them are going to hire more than a GM as well. But I think the Bears had better get on board with that if they want to leapfrog for some of these best candidates. Like Rick Smith, I love Rick Smith, the guy that built the Texans into a perennial playoff team, and then his wife got sick and resigned. His name's back out there as being interested in getting back in the league. He drafts unbelievably well.
Mm.
Hopkins, Watt, all those guys were his picks. He's not going to come be the GM of the Bears and work for Ted Phillips.
Right.
But he might come be the football czar of the Bears and bring a GM with him.
That's really the only thing that would give the Bears any kind of advantage is that.
And that's why I think they have to do it.
You can be the czar, the football czar of the charter franchise.
You can be the Theo that fixes the Bears, and you will be a legend forever, and you will not answer to Phillips. That's the way they can sell it.
That's the only way. That's the only way.
And by the way, that doesn't get you ahead of the Jets job anyway, because they're going to have the same thing they can say about New York with Lawrence. But it would, I think you'd leapfrog the Jaguars if you do that.
Yeah.
Probably leapfrog the Falcons. You know what I mean? Like, they have got to be aggressive here, and it's also vital that they do it differently. That they say, you know what, this hasn't been working. We're going to show our fans that we care. We're going to do something like the Roonies do. We're going to get a football czar. We're going to talk to the Roonies and several consultants, not just Ernie Accorsi. And we're going to get this thing right, or at least show you a different process. And, you know, the results are hard. It's hard to get the right QB. People screw it up every year in the draft, sure. Right? That's nothing new. But for the love, you've got 20-something years of Phillips being terrible.
Yeah.
By the way, he's basically a synopsis of my time as a Bears fan. He's a little after that. Yeah, but the 20 years of him has been most of my fandom. So the 3 years and 23 wins in 25 years, that's basically when I started becoming a fan. I was 5 years old when they won in 85.
So you don't remember it that well.
I remember the Super Bowl shuffle and nothing about the actual game.
See, I remember it. I really started – I was 7 in 84. So I was just coming into my understanding of well, as much as a 7-year-old can understand football, but yeah, by 85, I was all in and already as an 8-year-old.
You had that advantage on me because by the time I was the age where I'm really starting to get it, it's the Niners that I remember.
Yeah,
and then John Elway and the 85 Bears were. I was just too little to really remember much of it.
Yeah.
So just once, Chris, I want the good years to be the normal thing and not the flukes.
Yeah.
About 05, 06, 11, 18, those are the good years in my lifetime. And 03. 03 is a total fluke. And right now, 18 looks just as fluky.
03? What was
that? That's the Mike Brown overtime interception.
No, that was 01.
Or 01, sorry.
Yeah,
they were 13-3. That's why I keep thinking it's a 3.
I was thinking 03, the 8-8 last year of Dick Geron, eh?
No, yeah, 13-3, Dick Geron year. Yeah, you're right, 01. Mm-hmm. And that one, that's a fluke to the same degree that 18 looks like a fluke right now.
With Keith Traylor picking off Mark Brunell and rumbling down the sideline. It's old rumbling.
Yep.
Oh, that was good stuff.
I'm so tired of the good seasons being the flukes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you disagree with any of that?
No, I don't. No.
Did you catch Nagy's comments about how he has a good relationship when he talks to Ted?
Yes.
And the score guys, Parkins is dead on with this one. Noticed it right away. I think he's kind of still a Nagy homer, but he admits he's done a bad job now. But why is Ted talking to Nagy?
Right. That when I heard that, I was like, whoa.
And Hub did say one thing that would make sense. Maybe some of the COVID stuff, they would need to talk about some of that. But again, we've seen so many cases and journalists come out and be like, oh, I remember when Ted Phillips was involved with this and that and this and that. I mean, I don't know how he survived the Dave McGinnis botched thing. Remember that whole thing?
Well,
I
think he was put in charge right after that.
It was Mike McCaskey.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's when
you were a little older for some of that. Or not hiring Arians, but hiring from the CFL.
Trust me.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah. Oh boy!
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just looking back. I'm seeing, maybe Teddy was more involved. Especially the big one for me is John Fox. No way does Ryan Pace.
That in Ryan Pace, and everybody says it now.
Yeah, you're a young GM wanting to make your mark, and you're coming from New Orleans. With the younger hotshot Sean Payton, who's, you know, that's your example. That's what you want to build. That's what you want to follow. And then you hire John Fox.
That's a problem. It's all a problem.
No way did he do that on his own. There had to be input from
above him. I coordinate the whole thing. Yeah, that was because they wanted to pair a young GM with an experienced coach, which is hilarious because it just proves that you don't believe in the idea of hiring a young GM. I mean,
well, yeah.
So, they're so dumb, Chris.
But did Ryan
Steelers? They're a family organization that's always good, and they have a bad year, they make a great draft, and they're good again.
But then you lose to the Washington football team.
Hey, how about the UFT? Not to be confused with WTF. Hey, Tomlin warned us. He said they sucked last week, which was the great soundbite of the year.
Mm. Yeah.
How do you explain that, Coach? We sucked. God bless him. I love him.
Yeah. Look at
that stability. They just don't go through hires. They don't make mistakes at that level, and they've always got good people in charge. And, man, that is the comp with the family ownership. Be the Steelers.
Did you hear Dan Bernstein on the score say that the Steelers have had three coaches in his lifetime?
Amazing. We have three playoff wins in mine. Old enough to remember. Because here's the truth, Chris, and I don't want to forget this hottest of hot takes.
Yes.
This is going to scorch your computer screen. The Bears' rival is not the Green Bay Packers. You wish your rivals were the Packers. The Packers curb stomp you every year, basically. Once in a while, you beat them. Your rivals are the Lions.
Oh.
You duke it out for last place with the Lions. When you have a competitive, super entertaining game, it's with the Lions. We're closer to the Lions than we are the Packers. Bears need to just face up to those facts and fix it. They have an identity crisis. They think they're better than they are at all this. And these last 2 weeks should have made it crystal clear whose footing they're actually equal with.
Yeah. All my Packer fans feel sorry for me.
We're so beneath them, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't. Like, they don't care.
We're not their rivals. Their rivals are like the Seahawks and Saints and the 49ers who always run all over them. Maybe the Vikings.
We are like the buzzing of flies to them.
It's like, let me make a bad parallel as a Cardinals fan. And I hate this. I hate myself for it.
I hate the Cardinals too. Go ahead.
The Cardinals are the Packers. The Bears are the Cubs. And for the most part in my lifetime, the Cardinals' rival was the Astros.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the Cubs fans are like, oh, it's the Cardinals. The Cardinals, we didn't care that much about the Cubs for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Sosa McGuire for a little bit. And then, of course, the Cubs got good. It's whoever's good. Bottom line is, we're not good enough to be the Packers' rivals.
Well, on that wonderful sobering thought.
I'm just saying it's time for this. You're right. Face the facts so it can get fixed.
You're right. And it's been like that for 20 years. You're right.
There's just no pretending. Right. But that's why I'm not doing okay. Back to how I live.
Wow, that was a long therapy. That's good.
Yeah, that's okay.
Hey, quick side note. Speaking of Cubs Cardinal Sosa McGuire, have you watched the 30 for 30 Long Gone Summer?
No, I hear it's really good, though.
Yeah, you should watch it. We should talk about that. Take a break from Bears.
Okay.
And talk about that summer, the home run, the Hall of Fame, all that stuff. That'd be a fun.
Do you want to do that next time or closer to spring training or something?
Yeah, after football.
Yeah, okay.
Or do you want to do it?
No, that's – well, I mean, the Bears are still worth talking about because of the passion and the fire.
Yeah.
What do you think of this Northwestern stuff people keep bringing
Coach
up?
Fitz.
Northwestern coach. And then even now I saw the AD brought up by Adam Hogue.
Well, as
John AD Phillips, I think.
From Northwestern?
Yeah, Phillips, I think, is his name. Phillips. We can't have that, but whatever.
As a two-time graduate of Northwestern, let me just say. Well,
that's why I wanted to ask you.
I don't know. I don't. Fitzgerald, I mean, it's impressive what he's done with Northwestern to make them at least competitive every year. He's a Chicago guy. He loves the Bears. I mean, but that's
competing
not good enough.
In Power 5 football with their admission standards is no joke.
Yeah, impressive. It is. It is impressive.
And I fear it would be a total flop with grown adult NFL players.
Yeah.
You know, his fighting Reese Davises and nobody believes in us. He just seems like a walking cliched coach that I don't know if it'll work in the NFL. More to the point, his offense is very vanilla. So are we just going to – if we hire him, is it just the revolving coordinator door that Lovey had again? Because that's never going to win you a title.
Right. And, you know, he's got such a good gig at Northwestern. He can be there forever. He's perfect for that job. I don't think he should risk it. If I were him, I wouldn't risk it.
Yeah, no way. But I'd rather live with the pause that some good organizations like the Packers wanted to interview him. I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I should entertain this more.
They did want to, I'd be okay with an interview, but who's interviewing him? That's the next question.
Yep. Okay. Back to the clean sweep. Here's your silver lining. All right. You want my dose of optimism?
Yes.
It took them forever. But the dadgum Cleveland Browns finally getting all those draft picks to pan out. They are 9-3. If they can turn it around, the Dolphins have turned it around. The Cardinals have turned it around. You're only
Bills.
A couple picks away. Yeah, most of these are QBs. I still don't know about Baker, but Josh Allen's great.
Yeah.
Tua looks the part for now. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just a QB away from getting it right in some ways. Obviously, the Bears need tackles.
That would help a lot. Too. Look how much a quarterback helped Mike McCarthy look like a good coach.
I mean, people forget this because I just use the Steelers too, but they were like all D up and down kind of team until they drafted Roethlisberger. Right? They'd have like some really good seasons, but it would be like Mike Tomczak and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm like, they're probably losing this championship game.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it Russell Wilson in the Seahawks, third round. Yeah. Your favorite guy, Dak Prescott, fourth round. Stop not drafting QBs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. And these teams that just finally figure it out. I mean, it takes a while, but there's a lot of teams that have turned it around the last couple of years. There's no reason the Bears can't be that if they make the right moves and they make the right hires, first of all.
Yeah.
Small consolation.
It is because, yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean, they've Cleveland lost the and Buffalo. I don't know how to put a bunch of sparkles and sunshine on that. Yeah, they're bad at football.
Yeah,
and they're bad at football for most of my life, which means they need to do things differently.
Yeah,
okay. And they got two great examples in town that have already won titles, and a third team that finally did it that everyone's praising, though they haven't really shown anything yet in the Bulls. But the Cubs and Hawks did it to great success.
Yeah, I was hoping the Cubs would be more like the Hawks, but that's another story for another time. Yeah.
True. The baseball pod will be good.
Yes, it will.
We'll keep it going.
Yeah. Thanks, my man, for joining me. Sorry, I can't talk.
All right.
And you got – who do we got? The Texans? There's no way the
right.
Bears
game
win
preview.
This. No way the Bears win this game, right?
We would need the offense to turn the calendar back to September, or the defense to turn the calendar back to September, right?
Yeah.
Their defense is horrible. I'm going to take the Texans 31-30 so that Sean Watson can play hero and really pour salt into the wound.
I'm going to go 27-14 Texans.
Ooh, you got a blowout. That'll be good.
I got a blowout. Well, 13 point, yeah. So, I'm afraid Nagy's going to try to show that his quarterback's better. And it's going to be a disaster.
Ted Phillips is going to tell them from on high that they have to pass 50 times to prove Mitch is the better pick.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Ouch.
All right, I will talk to you later, my friend.
All right, see you, buddy.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Once football's over, it'll be fun to talk about baseball with Mark, especially since he's a Cardinal fan. I'm a Cubs fan. That could get some more interesting discussion going and perspective. So, yeah, that'll be fun. But, yeah, I recommend the 30 for 30, ESPN 30 for 30, Long Gone Summer. It's I think it came out last year. It's like a 20 years later revisiting of the Sosa McGuire home run chase of 1998, which is what got a lot of people back into baseball. And now, looking back, knowing what we know now about performance-enhancing drugs and all that, does that taint all that? So it's a very interesting watch. So Mark and I will talk about that sometime, and I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. So thanks again for listening to the Meatball Composer. On Twitter, I am at MeatballComp34. You can shoot me an email at MeatballComposer@mail.com. Love to hear any feedback. Also, I got some t-shirts. So if you'd like a t-shirt of the show I can just send you one just to get them out there. So let me know if you'd be interested in a Meatball Composer t-shirt. If you message me or tweet me your size, I will get one out to you, and you can message me address and all that. So anyway, thanks again for listening. Thank you again, Mark, for joining. And we'll do it again next time on the Meatball Composer.
You've been meatballed.
You suck, Chris.